Amen, Kels. I think we can all relate to that prayer. Hey, but I'm saying it's happy Monday, November, first week. Hey. It's a big week. It's going to be great weather. The winter is not here yet until the socks come on. They are off. Hey, we are so fortunate to have so many faculty and staff, great faculty and staff here at Hope College. And periodically, we get to invite them to share in chapel. Today, I'm really excited to get to introduce to you Dennis Feaster. He's a part of the Sociology and Social Work Department. Where are those folks? They are here. Hey, would you welcome Dennis Feaster, who's going to be sharing today?
Good morning, everybody. I am fully socked. I'm sorry, so mitigate each other. Hello, as Paul said, my name is Dennis Feaster. I'm a social worker here at Hope, and in my work, just by way of introduction, I focus primarily on issues related to disabilities, child welfare, international social work, and have, for the last 6 years, been involved in helping to construct systems of family and community-based care for children with disabilities in China. This morning, I'd like to talk a bit about calling or vocation, or at least my experiences of it, in the hope that this may be of relevance to some of you. But first, turn this on, I'd like to introduce you to someone. There we go. This is my son, Benjamin. And this is not Halloween. He was a Ghostbuster for Halloween. This is just the typical Saturday afternoon at our house. Benjamin is a precocious 12-year-old with Down syndrome. And one of the many superpowers that this has given him is the gift of shooting straight and of telling it like it is, no matter who you are. Benjamin, like God, is no respecter of persons. So one night a few weeks back, as our family was wrapping up our nightly dinner, bath, getting ready for bed routine, a process that involves slightly more logistical complexity than the invasion of Normandy, my children, Emily, Piper, and Benjamin, were freshly scrubbed and fed. We're finally settling down for the evening. I flop down on the couch to talk to my lovely wife, Sarah, and Benji crawls up next to me. He sits down, he leans forward, he looked deeply into my eyes, and with great sincerity said, "Dad?" Now, I thought he was going to say, "Dad, I love you," or, "Dad, will you read me a story?" or, "Dad, can I stay up later?" He didn't. Nope. He said, "Dad, you're a mess." I laughed. My wife lost it. She rolled, nodded. And he looked at me again, and again, with equal sincerity, he said, "You're best, Dad." And my first impulse was to say, at least to myself, "No, I'm not." But he's right. I am a mess. I'm not as big of a mess as I once was, I don't think, but I'm still kind of a mess, and Benji can see it. I don't think he particularly cares, but he gets it. So I think this is relevant to the idea of calling, because for a long time, I assumed that being a mess disqualified me from my calling. Or that somehow my calling would be revealed to me when I was no longer a mess and was finally able to pursue it. This is a very anxiety-provoking way to think, especially for young men and women your age. And when I think back to my college-age self, this was my default understanding. My family of origin is quite messy. Substance dependence, serious struggles with mental health and functioning, a lot of instability both in terms of relationships and geography. Long story short, my parents were divorced when I was 5. There are a lot of step-parents, step-siblings, and others who sort of floated in and out of our lives for the next 15 years or more. The cumulative effect of this was that when I reached the point of graduating from my bachelor's program, I had no idea of where I was going to go or what I was going to do. I was very much on my own and very afraid. And some of you may be able to relate to this too. I didn't have a clear sense of direction, so I flailed around and tried to figure things out. Eventually, though, bereft of calling, or so I thought, and not knowing what else to do, I figured that finding a way to help people would be a good direction. When all else fails, help. With this less than sterling beginning, I stumbled into my life's work. And it wasn't until much later that I began to have enough of a context to begin to help me understand some of these experiences, especially as it relates to calling. When I began working in China, I encountered a wonderful Chinese saying, "Shi fu ling jing men, shou xing zai ge ren." Loosely translated, this means, the teacher leads the student to the gate, but it's up for the student to walk through. My understanding is that God presents us with the opportunity to enter certain gates in life. We have to choose whether or not we're going to enter them and learn the lessons contained therein. Now, when I first began to think about this, this was exciting to me. The focus was on what's on the other side of the gate, the broader country that takes us higher up and farther in to life with God. That's fun to think about. Right? It's exciting to consider what might be down the road, down future paths. But if we consider what we are passing to, we also need to think about what we're passing from, what we're leaving, what has brought us to the gate. This helped me to think about calling a bit differently and how this actually plays out in my life. Then, last May, I had the privilege of participating in the NetView Faith and Scholarship Discussion Series here at Hope. I spent part of the process in community with my colleagues and other departments, exploring the ways that faith is understood and explained across disciplines and personalities. This year's focus was actually on this idea of a phenomenon of calling. And I had great pleasure encountering some mind-blowing ideas, not the least of which was this passage from Karl Barth, in which he says, "The action of a person must be one which always and in all directions is open, eager to learn, capable of modification, perpetually ready, in obedience to the exclusively sovereign command of God, to allow itself to be oriented afresh and in very different ways from those which might have seemed possible and necessary on the basis of our own ideas of our abilities and capacities." Now, I'm a social worker. I'm not a theologian and I'm not a philosopher, so bear with me as I tread outside of my turf. It sounds to me as though Barth suggests that we are invited by God to grow into our calling, in effect being invited to participate in our own creation to some degree through our choices and our traveling with God. If this is true, it's mind-blowing. And so with this idea in mind, as I think back to the times in my life where I was most conscious of making a decision that had significance beyond the moment, these were the times when I was and still am most acutely aware of my status as a mess. Proposing and getting married, whether or not to go to graduate school, having children, all of these were instances when I was painfully aware of my inadequacy to the task ahead while still being convinced of the goodness of the way forward. All right, back to Benji. So I introduced Benjamin to you earlier, and Benjamin absolutely represents such a gate in my life. Our family adopted him in December 1st of 2004. And I distinctly remember standing at the brink of the gate of Benjamin earlier that same year and asking myself, can you really do this? Can you be a father to this kid? The immediate response was, no. No way. I'm too much of a mess. And that's not hyperbole or false humility. It's true. I'm a mess from a long line of messes. I had very little idea growing up of what a dad looked like. I had few models to emulate. I did not come from a place of confidence or groundedness to make a decision like this. And yet I felt a very distinct desire to pass through the gate. It felt like a call to do so. So I did. But I didn't do so alone. And this is the crazy and or awesome thing about it. I grew into it. By the grace of God, with the patience of Sarah and my children, I grew into it. Now, being a dad is one of the most important identities I have. And I believe this is one aspect of my calling. My kids are great teachers and I learn a lot from them. The same is true for my professional path. What started as a simple desire to help and make a living grew into more and deeper opportunities to understand the helping process, to grow deeper into community with my clients and colleagues, and presented the opportunity to pursue advanced education in those areas in ways that I could never have predicted from the first. So in my experience, the process of passing through these gates have always involved some degree of anxiety and a whole lot of doubt. While I trust my experiences, I feel a bit more secure when I can look to Scripture for examples of other messes who were called into something greater. Paul got off to a rocky start. Peter blew it on a semi-regular basis. Right? Moses argued with God about it. Moses, huh? Deliver my people. No, I'm a mess. You don't want me. Five times, right? He argued this point five times. And in all cases, each of these people moved forward from a place of anxiety and doubt and into their calling. More importantly, they grew into their relationship with God, of which calling may simply be a manifestation. And so here's the point. If you're a mess like me, God still has a place for you. And you probably won't get to know what it is until you get there. And if Barth is right, it's getting there that gives you what you need when you do finally grow into your calling. Thank you. Go in peace.